Searching podcasts for the Daily Perspective. Okay, the Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Good morning and welcome into this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping that you're enjoying your Friday so far, wherever and whenever you may be listening. If you're listening in the future, please send me a note and let me know how things turn out. I hope you're looking forward to a good weekend. If you are still among those who are working, then this is Friday and the weekend is upon you. If you, however, are social distancing at home, well, that's why I remind you today is Friday. It's all running together for you. I know you're running out of things to do, especially if you have kids at home. If you have kids, oh Lord, if you have kids at home and you are cooped up in the house with kids, you are wearing the internet out looking for ideas, things to do, how to stay occupied, because if you don't control the madness will take over. You have to have a plan. And so you've been searching the web. And I have a word for you. You're not going to find help here. That's not why I'm here. I'm not going to help you find things to do with the kiddos. It just ain't happening here. I'm sorry, but you have to go someplace else for that. Oh my goodness. What a week we've had. It started off with Sunday storms passing through our area, tornadoes ripping things to pieces. I saw online the first part of this week, people were posting family photos and such that they had found in their on their lawns, on their property, that had blown there from tornadoes. There were people in the state of Alabama, where I live, who were posting photos on social media saying, hey, if you know these people, let them know I have their photos. And some of them turned out to have come from Mississippi, where storms were bad. So just remember, perspective is everything. It could be worse. It could be much, much worse. You could be sheltering at home and your home destroyed by a tornado. That's just something to think about as we step into the weekend. So how are you? Are you doing well? I hope you are. I hope that everything is going well for you and that you're looking forward to a good weekend. Not much personal to share here for me. Yesterday I was out for another session at the Dawson Now studio. We actually had an interview with Luke for King and Country. I chatted with him, and that'll be up on the feed for that on the YouTube page and on the podcast side as well, coming up in the next few days. And it's interesting talking with I didn't get involved, but I sat listening. And I've been acquainted with those guys in sort of a one-off way for a long, long time. The For King and Country, the band, they've just recently done a collaboration with Dolly Parton. They've been around. They've been doing some stuff and getting some recognition. They're an Australian boys, an Australian family that moved here to the United States. They have a sister who was very well known in Christian music circles for quite some time. Her name is Rebecca St. James. Yeah, these are her baby brothers. And their dad, Dave, was Rebecca's tour manager and is now their tour manager, the business manager. And it was interesting. A couple of years ago in Florida, I was working there at a student camp, and we had For King and Country come in for a room that seats 700 people. And that's 700 people that have been greased up and slipped in the door. I mean, this place was tiny, and 700 people was a hot, sweaty mess. But they brought their entire stage show, everything they use on a regular stage, they brought into this little dinky, tiny, like 18 by 20 foot stage in this room. And they packed the place with all kinds of musical instruments and incredibly big, big white LED moving lights and all kinds of things. They brought that. They had just become wildly famous for collaborating with someone else on a music video. And people said, whoa, who are those guys? And all of a sudden, they started getting booked like crazy, and we had them booked before that hit. And so they came in with their entire road show and shoved it into a room that seats 400 or 700 people. And it was an insane night. It was probably one of the best concert experience I've ever had. And it was just incredible. But I was talking with the guy, an elderly fellow who was working the merch table, setting up their merchandise. And he was kind of familiar. I'm trying to put two and two together. And then I finally said, now, where have I met you before? And I told him about my radio background, and we compared some notes and realized that he was the same guy doing business and road management for Rebecca St. James years before when I was doing radio work. And so we had met before, and it was a fun time. We had a good time, and it was good to hear that he's doing well in this conversation with Luke yesterday. But that'll be up before too long. Anyway, but I digress. That was pretty much yesterday. I went there and came on back home. I've been working on the killer computer, the Hackintosh, which I need to put a picture up so you can see this. I'll have to make a note and put it up on the Facebook feed today because I can't do it in the midst of all this right now. Trust me, it's too much of a hassle to go through to import it, to move it from one place to another, to load it into this program. And, it's just too much of a nightmare to do while I'm doing this live. So a little bit later on after the show, I'll try to get one up on Facebook for you on the Daily Perspective podcast page because it's a cute little computer, but it's still not running the Mac OS yet because, I'm sorry to get all tech nerdy on you, but and I know some people just kind of space out like, hey, talking about computers again. Well, the thing is that this is a project I've decided to jump into and build myself and work on myself rather than spend close to $4,000 on a new Mac computer because I'm invested in some of the systems and I just don't have the money to do it right now. And I don't know if I ever will again, but it's sitting over there. It's just as cute as a bug. And it boots up and it runs, and I tried installing Windows on it. It likes that. But the process for getting the Mac operating system on it is, as the Beatles would say, a long and winding road. It's just going to take some time to get there. And I have put out some feelers for help, and hopefully that will happen today. And hopefully sometime today or this weekend, I'll have that thing up and running and doing a full 4K edit of the flight video that I posted on my Facebook page the other day and other things. But that's pretty much it. I was working on it, spent a lot of the day yesterday trying to debug that problem and not being successful. And that just really bugs me. I hate when I can't figure something out. But hopefully with a little bit of help, I'll see where I missed something. Hopefully. Well, what do we have today? Well, stuff to talk about today. This is not something we'll get into today, but just as a mention, did you know that there is a leftist group, a shady leftist group, that has been trying to weaponize a consumer protection law to take Fox News down, and the network is fighting back? Yeah, that's happening. You should look that up, because it's interesting to see what lengths the left will go to shut down dissent, because that's what that is. At Fox News, they are not telling the same story that the other leftist news networks are, because at Fox News, even though they have shifted somewhat to the left in recent years, the Fox News network is not telling the same story, because even though it's not the same as it used to be, they are still more fair and balanced than everybody else. From time to time and from host to host, you may have differences, but in general, on the whole, Fox News is still doing a more fair and balanced job than anyone else. Because when you watch anyone else, you see they're just regurgitating the talking points of fear and despair that the others, that the Democrat politicians are, the leftist progressive politicians who are condemning the president, saying he's not doing anything to help the country. He was late to do this. He's slowing everything down. When the truth is that he was on top of this well before anybody else was. And He was trying to get the ball rolling to fight coronavirus while the Democrats were all completely distracted, not doing their jobs, and totally focused on impeachment. They were trying to drag him through this process, or were dragging him through this process, and trying to get him removed from office while he was doing everything he could at the time to prevent this coronavirus epidemic from getting any worse than it was, this pandemic, from affecting our nation any more than it did. That's what they were doing. And the leftist press is just parroting everything the Democrats are saying. They're seeing everything through the same distorted lens of progressivism. And they're not telling you the truth, by and large. So this shady leftist group is trying to take down Fox News. I'll try to remember to include that link in the mix today on the show notes. By the way, I don't mention this. I haven't mentioned this for several days, and that is that you can get the show notes. All of the links to the articles that I use as source material, they're posted every day on the Facebook page, the Daily Perspective Podcast Facebook page, and dailyperspectivepodcast.com, which then echoes it to social media. At least it's supposed to. I should probably go check on that. but that will, I'll try to include that today as well. What else do we have? There are Democrat senators who are bucking the trend, and they're calling for some immediate small business funding. We'll get into that in a little while, hopefully. President Trump has finally just had it with Nancy Pelosi and fired back at her. Mitch McConnell and McCarthy have blasted the Democrats because they have blocked funds for small businesses. The Small Business Relief Fund is now empty, and it's empty because the Democrats have said no. And Nancy Pelosi, most famously, has said, oh, there's no data indicating this is necessary. And right now we have small businesses all across our country suffering. They're trying to keep their employees paid, trying to keep things above water. And the Democrats are keeping that from happening. We'll look at that a little bit later on. Let's see here. Oh, it looks like the theory about COVID-19 starting in a Wuhan virology lab could be true. It looks like that theory could have some substance. We'll look at that in a little bit. Germany's reopening. Germany is reopening. And we'll have a look at how that's happening. And at the top of the list, President Trump has unveiled guidelines for reopening the United States of America. He's sharing his vision of how the country should lift its restrictions aimed at slowing the spread of the coronavirus. Yesterday, the White House released an 18-page document that lays out guidelines for how states could start to reopen their economies in a series of phases. He tweeted yesterday afternoon he'd hold a major news conference to outline the guidelines. He did that. He said, we can begin the year, begin the next front in our war, he said during the press conference. We must also preserve the health and functioning of our economy. The guidelines, which are titled Opening Up America Again, do not lay out a timeline for when restrictions are lifted. However, they list criteria for states to lift social distancing restrictions and provide an outline of how states can begin to move forward. The first phase is for states to see a 14-day downward trajectory in new cases. The second phase is for states that do not see a rebound of cases. And the third phase is for states that meet the downward trajectory requirements and do not see a spike in cases as restrictions have been lifted. The first phase of the guidelines recommends that vulnerable Americans continue to shelter in place. For those who do go out, the guidelines recommend that they continue to adhere to existing social distancing guidelines and avoid non-essential travel. However, it allows for businesses such as gyms, theaters, or places of worship to reopen if they can accommodate social distancing guidelines, although bars are supposed to stay closed. Additionally, elective surgeries, which have been delayed across the country, can resume in the first phase. In phase two, the White House says non-essential travel can resume. It encourages people to avoid groups of more than 50, up from the current recommendation to avoid groups of more than 10. Also in phase two, the White House says schools and daycare centers can reopen. Bars can reopen if they limit occupancy. That's in phase two. In the third phase, vulnerable groups can leave their homes. Businesses can return to normal staffing levels, and visits to hospitals and nursing homes can resume. However, people are still encouraged to avoid crowded areas. Trump had previously declared that he has the total authority on the decision to reopen the country. There's been a lot of misinterpretation of that. You should look into it. However, in a meeting with governors on Thursday afternoon, Trump reportedly told governors to call your own shots. And that is how it's supposed to be, because each state is its own state. We are not a nation state. We are a nation of states. The latest data finds that there are over 658,000 confirmed cases of the virus in the country. However, officials are optimistic that strict restrictions and social distancing guidelines are working to slow the spread of the virus. So, we have a plan. Now, Joe Biden has said it's not a plan. Joe Biden keeps saying the president has dropped the ball. Joe Biden has continued lying, because that's what Joe Biden knows how to do best. Let's see how this all works out, shall we? Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. It's the Friday edition of the podcast. It's the 17th. Wow, my mouth is on vacation. It's the 17th day of April, 2020. Diving into a weekend, and I just tell you that as a public service because all of your days are starting to run together now. I know. Trust me, I know. Maybe you should, for the sake of keeping things on a schedule so you know how things are going, I mean, you know how days are passing, maybe, just maybe, you should start a podcast and just do it 5 days a week. Because, you see, and I know this from experience, if you do that, then you know what day of the week it is, and you know when the weekends are. Oh, see, there's an idea, and you wonder why I do this. Yeah, I had that idea, when was it, about
3:28 a.m.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep. It's a Friday edition of the podcast. Mark Congleton here with you, your sometimes humble host, hoping that you are having a terrific day. Well, it looks like Germany is going to be reopening, coming up on May 3rd. Shops, schools, more. They plan to let the smaller shops reopen next week after a weeks-long coronavirus shutdown and start reopening schools in early May. But Europe's biggest economy is keeping strict social distancing rules in place for now. After much-anticipated talks Wednesday with Germany's 16 state governors, Chancellor Angela Merkel, set out a plan for the first steps of a cautious restart of public life, following neighboring Austria and Denmark and other countries in launching a slow loosening of restrictions. New infections in Germany have slowed in recent weeks, but Merkel cautioned that the country has achieved only a fragile intermediate success so far and doesn't have much room for maneuver. Wow, that's a real politician, isn't it? Wow. She said a ban on gatherings of more than two people in public and an obligation to keep that at a 1.5-meter, that's 5-foot, distance from others, which has been in place since March 23rd, will remain in place beyond Sunday when it was previously set to expire. Non-essential shops, which also have been closed for nearly 4 weeks, will be allowed to start reopening with hygiene precautions if they are up to 800 square meters, that's 8,600 square feet, in area. So will auto showrooms, bike shops, book shops, irrespective of their size. Merkel said the decisions apply to the period from Monday through May 3rd, and officials will review the situation again on April 30th. She said authorities will recommend that people wear face masks on public transport and when shopping, but are stopping short of making their use obligatory for now. Schools have been closed since mid-March. Merkel said preparations will be made for them to reopen, step by step, from May 4th, with the oldest students returning first. Hairdressing salons should also prepare to open starting May 4th, according to officials. State governors in Germany and Germany's interior minister will hold talks this week with religious communities on what to do about religious gatherings, which haven't been allowed in recent weeks. It remains unclear when bars, cafes, and restaurants, which are also closed apart from takeouts, will be opened, are allowed to reopen. Merkel says, we are moving forward in small steps and must see what effect they have. Major gatherings won't be allowed through August 31st. Germany's federal structure gives individual states significant leeway to make decisions, and some may diverge slightly on details of how to restart public life. Germany has confirmed more than 130,000 coronavirus infections, according to a tally by Johns Hopkins University. It has recorded over 3,500 deaths, but that's a lower number than in countries with comparable case figures, and Germany's health system hasn't been overwhelmed. The coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms for most people. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness. So Germany is stepping out of their lockdown, and I wonder how many other countries will follow suit. We're doing this. We have a phased process, according to our president, and things are going to start reopening again. Germany is doing kind of the same thing. And I wonder, I can't help but wonder, when we look back on this, I can't help but wonder how much of this was actually necessary. Will we ever find out how much of this was actually necessary? Will we actually find out if we did face a serious major threat? When you look at the stats, and this is just going to be, let's just play cold-hearted stats for just a moment here. As of today, according to worldometers.info, coronavirus has killed 147,787 people worldwide. Almost 148,000 people worldwide. That is more than flu deaths this year, which is at 143,000, roughly. It has killed more people than the flu around the world this year. But when you look at some other numbers, you look at some other things. Let's take, for instance, there are some things that I can't compare to, okay? Cancer. Cancer has killed almost 2.5 million people this year. But you're not going to get cancer on the bus. You know what I mean? You're not going to catch cancer at the movie theater or at a concert or in a bar. That's just not how that works. So it's not a fair comparison. But if we look at something like malaria, something that happens up on you, it's not behavior based. It's not because you are a smoker or a drinker or you are obese or any other reason that could cause a health issue. Malaria happens because you're in an area where mosquitoes are a problem, and mosquitoes who are carrying malaria are active. And as a side note, this would not be a problem for the world if DDT were still allowed to be used. And that's another subject. Just go look it up. The claims about DDT causing thin eggshells in certain kinds of birds and endangering avian populations was all based on fraudulent data. And as a result, DDT was taken off the market. And as a result, malaria deaths went up. But malaria is something we can compare. It is a viral disease. Almost 150,000 cases worldwide of coronavirus resulting in death. Malaria, 288,344 as of today. Nearly twice as many. Malaria. And that's just one little slice of perspective. Neither one of them are behavior-based, unless you want to talk about idiotic gathering with other people who are sick, a behavior, yeah, that could be, but they're both diseases causing death. Malaria, something you would think in the year 2020 would not be a problem for the world around you. Malaria, which you would think would have been conquered by now. Malaria, killing almost 300,000 people so far this year. And then we look at worldwide, we look at coronavirus, 147,787 deaths as of right now. So malaria is doing more damage almost twice as much damage as the coronavirus is. And that's just cold, hard facts. That's just data. But it is a perspective that we have to keep in mind, because we've gone overboard to deal with this issue here in the United States and around the world. And government is practically quivering with anticipation. They're thrilled with what they've been able to the muscle they've been able to flex as a result of this. And as I said yesterday, we can't let them do this to us again. We have to look back at this. We have to find out the truth. We have to learn what really was necessary and what wasn't, and make sure this never happens again. Also, another figure you don't hear talked about very often is how many people have recovered. Yes, there have been 147,787 cases worldwide of coronavirus. Those have died. But over 500,000 people have recovered from it that we know of. That's just that we know of. And that figure, as we get more testing done that reveals antibodies in the blood from people who have had it and gotten over it, many of them not even knowing they had it, I think that figure will double, triple, quadruple, and beyond. I think we'll find out many, many people have had this and never knew it. Or they attributed it to seasonal illnesses or the usual flu that goes through. They had a bad few days and got over it and they're fine now. And what they actually had was coronavirus. I think we'll be finding that out. But keep this in mind. We won't find that out if we leave it to the progressive press, because they're not interested in telling us the truth about this. They're interested in whatever bleeds and leads, the hot story of the day, not in telling us all the facts we need to make our own decisions and to know what's really going on. And that's the problem with our sources of information today.
I want details, and I want them right now.
Well, we're working on it. Take a step back, please. Honor the social distancing. It is the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there. Hope you're having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend, and you and yours also. Hope you're all doing well. Having fun. Come on. Yeah, I'll get flagged for that. It's a Friday edition. Looking forward to a couple of days to focus on the other things. And as far as other things are concerned, God, I was looking at weather. We've got more of the nasty stuff coming in our area this weekend. It looks like Sunday will be another day with storms coming through. And last Sunday didn't turn out well for a lot of people, as I mentioned earlier. And around our place, we ended up doing a lot of cleanup on Monday. Monday, my friend Mike came over and brought chainsaws. He brought four chainsaws. I think I mentioned this the other day. Mike brought four. Those are four of his chainsaws. Not all four of his chainsaws, just four of his chainsaws. I can't keep one running. Actually, I handed it to him before he left. Said, here, go give it some TLC. See if you can figure out why it won't start. Because I can't. I was going to do some work myself, and I couldn't get the thing started, which seems to be a trend for me. I couldn't get, let's see, well, I can get the big mower started. It just won't move. I've still got to work on that. I haven't honestly had a day when I wasn't focused on other things or had to be other places or whatever, because that's one of those things. I'm going to have to turn the mower over and drop the deck and pull things off of it and go find replacement parts and all that. It's going to be a day-long process to get that thing fixed, back up and running again. So I just haven't had a day to dedicate to it. But hopefully I will this weekend. But, and then the push mower, I pulled the push mower out into the driveway to try to get it started yesterday. And I was looking all over it and began to realize, after trying to get it started for a little while, I started remembering, oh yeah, this was my parts mower. This is the one that I held on to because I've had these Lawn Boy mowers, which, by the way, Lawn Boy, woo, excellent lawnmowers. But this, the I've had these Lawn Boy lawnmowers for years, and the nice one, the one that was running that I used all the time, I gave to my buddy Mike when I bought the lawn tractor. I said, here, take this, do something with it, make some money off of it. And so I'm out there in the driveway out in front of the garage, pulling on the thing, spraying starter fluid in the carburetor. I'm doing all kinds of things trying to, and I'm realizing there are parts missing here. The little throttle control is missing, but I can get a pair of pliers and pull that in and out and get that. You know, that's not a big deal. I can arrange it. And didn't I have a big handle on this thing to make it easier to pull? Oh, wait a minute. I remember now. I commented to Mike that about that big handle when he, you know, when I traded it off or when I got rid of it. And he has the mower that was running. I just had the one I kept to salvage parts off of, to scavenge parts off of, to keep the other one running. So there I was trying to get a mower started that didn't have all of its parts. So that won't be happening. Anyway, but that's the story of my life. That's how it is for me. But if we have this nasty weather come back through again, we have more storms. Who knows what'll happen? Power outages, internet outages. That was the big thing for us. Our power never went off. We lost internet service. And where we live, we hardly have any cell service. We're out in the boonies. And the cell service is where we are. We have like 1 to 2 bars of cell service. And we're sitting around, we've got our cell phones set up as hotspots, and we've got our iPads out, and we're trying to surf the web, and we're trying to learn things, we're trying to do things. I'm trying to put together show notes. I'm trying to do all kinds of things, and it just doesn't matter. I realized at one point, putting show notes together without being able to do the live show was just kind of crazy. So why? I mean, why? Sure, I could go in and record something. Might as well just make it short, but doing the entire live show, I couldn't upload it. There was no way to put it online. So, and to try to do that with 1 or 2 bars of cell service, I would have been there the rest of the week trying to upload one day. So, I had to pull the plug on it. And finally, we got things back to normal in the last couple of days. Normal. You know what I mean. Anyway, that's where we are now. We're looking at another weekend with bumpy weather coming through, and I just hope we don't have to go through that same scenario again. I realize that we have it good compared to some people who lost their homes. I saw a photo, by the way, of one home, the entire house, which had been picked up and moved off of its foundation 60 feet and was sitting in the road in front of the property, of the house's property. The entire house picked up off the foundation, set in the middle of the road. Just amazing. That's like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz kind of stuff. And that stuff really happens. Makes you want to go back and watch the movie Twister. Or maybe not. You know, that movie with the raging Helen Hunt. Let's get back to the news at hand, shall we? It seems that nearly 2 years before the start of the global coronavirus pandemic, back in 2018, U.S. officials in China sent warnings to Washington expressing safety concerns over a facility in Wuhan doing research into coronaviruses in horseshoe bats, adding weight to the theory that the novel virus originated in a lab and not at a Wuhan wet market. The news broke in a report Wednesday by Josh Rogan of the Washington Post, who said he obtained access to the first of 2 diplomatic cables sent from State Department officials who had visited the Wuhan Institute of Virology in January and March 2018. According to Rogan, in January of 2018, the U.S. Embassy in Beijing sent American science diplomats to the Wuhan lab, which had in 2017 become the first lab in China to achieve BSL-4 clearance, or the highest level of bioresearch safety. That clearance, granted by a Chinese accrediting agency, allowed researchers at the lab to study the world's most dangerous pathogens. Well, that's interesting. They gave themselves their own clearance. Evidently, what the U.S. officials discovered during their visits concerned them so much that they proceeded to send two sensitive but unclassified cables back to Washington. In the first cable, according to Rogan, the officials warned that inadequate safety measures and risky research could result in a new SARS-like pandemic. Here's what they said. During interactions with scientists at the WIV laboratory, they noted the new lab has a serious shortage of appropriately trained technicians and investigators to safely operate this high containment laboratory. So states the January 19, 2018 cable. It also states, most importantly, the researchers also showed that various SARS-like coronaviruses can interact with ACE2, the human receptor identified for SARS coronavirus. This finding strongly suggests that SARS-like coronaviruses from bats can be transmitted to humans to cause SARS-like diseases. From a public health perspective, this makes the continued surveillance of SARS-like coronaviruses in bats and study of the animal-human interface critical to future emerging coronavirus outbreak prediction and prevention. The cable also noted that the U.S. officials met with Shi Zhengli, a virologist known as Batwoman, for her virus-hunting expeditions into bat caves and subsequent research on coronaviruses in bats. In November of 2017, just months before the visit from U.S. officials, Xi's team at the Wuhan lab published research showing that horseshoe bats Xi had collected were likely from the same gene pool as the ones that spawned the 2003 SARS epidemic. The information represented in the diplomatic cables appear to corroborate other evidence, quickly amassing that points to the Wuhan Institute of Virology as the origin point, though that evidence is, at this point, still circumstantial. In early April, The Blaze reported on suspicious job postings coming from the Wuhan lab in November and December of 2019 that indicate researchers were, in fact, studying coronaviruses in bats. What's more is that the second of the two postings also seemed to indicate that researchers were seeking additional help to control their confirmed discovery of new viruses. A Google translation of the December 24th posting said, "Long-term research on the pathogenic biology of bats carrying important viruses has confirmed the origin of bats of major new human and livestock infectious diseases such as SARS and SADS, and a large number of new bat and rodent new viruses have been discovered and identified." At the time of that posting, China had reported an onslaught of mystery pneumonia cases plaguing Wuhan. In the coming weeks, Chinese officials would finally admit that these cases were the result of a new coronavirus infecting its population. Additionally, the article noted that a research paper published on February 6th by the South China University of Technology suggested that the virus most likely came from an animal known as the intermediate horseshoe bat. Only horseshoe bats are not naturally found within 900 kilometers of Wuhan, and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention could not confirm the oft-repeated claim that horseshoe bats were sold at wet markets in the city. Think about that now. That's what we've been told all this time, that horseshoe bats sold in the wet markets aren't found naturally within 900 kilometers of Wuhan. The evidence seems to indicate that in the years prior to the outbreak, Chinese researchers in Wuhan were indeed studying coronaviruses in bats, not unlike the SARS-CoV-2 virus that is responsible for the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Those cables allegedly sent in early 2018 demonstrate that U.S. officials from the U.S. Embassy in Beijing were not only knowledgeable about the research, but concerned about the potential that it could result in a SARS-like pandemic, such as the one plaguing the world right now. Though no official government intelligence has yet confirmed the notion that the virus originated in a Wuhan virology lab, according to Rogan, the theory has standing among many national security officials in the Trump administration. The cables, one senior official allegedly said, add further weight to the theory. The official said, The idea that it was just a totally natural occurrence is circumstantial. The evidence it leaked from the lab is circumstantial. Right now, the ledger is on the side of it leaking from the lab. It's packed with bullet points, but there's almost nothing on the other side. That's what that official reportedly said. So it does look like bats not natural to the area carried the COVID-19 disease, this virus. They were being investigated, worked on in a lab in Wuhan. And it looks like that's actually where this all came from. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here. Glad you're along today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. I'm having one of those TGIF moments. Do you get one of those? It's like, wow, I'm so glad it's the weekend's here. I know a lot of people, they're don't have the regular schedule right now. And what would make you happy, I guess, if that's you, then what would make you happy is probably being able to get out and do something. Well, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're seeing things begin to open back up again. Hopefully very soon we'll be able to get out and do some things. Wouldn't that be Marvy? I think so. Well, small businesses all over are suffering right now, and they didn't have to. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Republican from Kentucky, and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy from California, the Republican from California, slammed Democrats and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in a statement on Wednesday for refusing to replenish the Paycheck Protection Program of the CARES Act, which will result in harm to Americans. They said in a statement, the Small Business Administration and the Department of the Treasury report that the Paycheck Protection Program will exhaust its funding in a matter of hours. It will have to stop accepting applications for job-saving loans. Democrats have spent days blocking emergency funding for Americans' paychecks, and now the bipartisan program has run dry. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Paycheck Protection Program was on track to exhaust most of its initial allocation of $350 billion in the early morning hours of Thursday. That would be yesterday. With the Small Business Administration saying it had approved more than 1.5 million loans valued at more than $324 billion as of late Wednesday, and loans were continuing to be processed. Both Democrats and Republicans want to add $250 billion to the Small Business Aid Program, but have been sparring for days over whether to add restrictions to the funds. Democrats want to expand access to the loans, as well as include more money for hospitals, food assistance, and state and local governments. Republicans, meanwhile, said they want to keep the bill focused on increasing small businesses, business aid, and defer other funding debates until the next broader legislation is crafted. And I have to say, I have seen other reports saying that the Democrats want more than money for hospitals, food assistance, and state and local governments. They're putting in unrelated things, more unrelated stuff, as they usually do. They're wanting to pack pork into this. And the reason, this is one of the reasons it's been failing. They can't get their way, so they're harming small businesses. I have seen reports. I follow a couple of senators that I know, that I've met. I've actually had social interaction with. We've shaken hands. We have spoken. I follow a couple of those guys, and they're posting things like, the banks in my state are contacting me saying they have small businesses coming to them trying to get these loans processed through this program, and we've hit the wall. We can't get any more money for them. What do we do? This is happening across the country. The statement continues, this did not have to happen. Republicans have been sounding the alarm for more than a week. Last Thursday, Senate Republicans tried to pass a narrow and clean bill that would have simply put more money into this critical program without changing any of the underlying policies that passed the Senate and House unanimously. Democrats blocked it. Even as the program is saving millions of American jobs, Speaker Pelosi has said she sees no data as to why we need to keep funding it. The news comes as large swaths of the American economy. By the way, can I stop for a moment before I go any further? Speaker Pelosi saying she sees no data as to why we need to keep funding this particular program. She says so as she goes on live with James Corden the other night from her home, from her kitchen, standing in front of her two stainless steel side-by-side refrigerators, two full-sized refrigerators full of food. She shows it. Different kinds of ice cream. One of the ice creams is like $12 a quart. She's got stuff that people just can't afford right now. She's dressed in clothes that people can't afford right now. She's living in a house that very few people can afford to live in right now. She is a multimillionaire. Don't let that go. Nancy Pelosi is a multimillionaire. She's eating expensive ice cream in front of expensive appliances in an expensive house, wearing expensive clothes, telling America's small business people she doesn't see the need they have. That's the Democrat Party. Limousine liberals, rich people, wealthy people, made wealthy by politics, not by honest work, not by making a difference and improving the lives of the people of America, but just by being political animals. Back to the story. The news comes as large swaths of the American economy has been effectively closed for the last few weeks due to the coronavirus outbreak that originated in Wuhan, China. The U.S., which has led the world in widespread testing, has nearly 630,000 confirmed cases and over 25,000 reported deaths from the virus. The hardest hit states in the U.S. are New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Michigan, and California. The New York City area has been by far the hardest hit area in the country, accounting for nearly one-third of all the coronavirus cases in the U.S. and accounting for nearly half the deaths in the U.S. The statement continues, "It has been stunning to watch our Democratic colleagues treat emergency funding for Americans' paychecks like a Republican priority, which they need to be goaded into supporting. Funding a bipartisan program should not be a partisan issue. The notion that crucial help for working people is not appealing enough to Democrats without other additions sends a strange message about their priorities." The statement concludes, "The cost of continued Democratic obstruction will be pink slips and shuttered businesses. We hope Democrats can see reason soon and finally heed Republicans' repeated calls for a funding bill that can quickly earn unanimous consent from all 100 senators and become law." Well, don't count on that, because right now the Democrats are more focused on destroying a president and a presidency and the chance of re-election than they are in helping the American people. That is where their minds truly are. And you may be wondering, well, how can hurting small business this way hurt the president? Because they can stand in front of cameras in the next few months and say that this president has done an abysmal job, that it was his fault that small businesses across America folded, that it was his fault that millions of Americans lost their jobs and their incomes, that it was his fault that thousands of people died as a result of this virus. They will continue to lie unchallenged in the progressive news media. And their sycophants, their sheep, will blindly, bleatingly follow them and believe everything they say. That's why. And that's how. Anything and everything that they cause to happen, they will use against the president. And the progressive news media will not challenge it and will not tell the truth about it. Because the progressive news media, in their own tiny little universe, agrees with the progressives in government. And they see things through that twisted, distorted, bizarre little lens of progressivism. And the only thing that matters to them is the destruction and defeat of the sitting president. Because, as you recall, they were on their way to something that they thought was going to be setting the stage for them to permanently be in power. And it got interrupted. Remember,
we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Yeah. Remember,
change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
They believe wholeheartedly and firmly that it is they who should be in control and restructuring this nation, transforming it into something our founders never had a vision for. Transforming it into something our founders sought to prevent because they had seen it before and didn't want it happening here. And that's why they're doing everything they're doing today, in order to destroy a president so they can control, gain power and control once again. Hey, that's it for me. God bless you. Have a good weekend. We'll see you back here Monday, God willing, for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast.
Now I'll take the next 2 days off. How's that?